Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
But I'm playing. That's my mind's off of that. But yeah, I mean, like you said, people saying I should sit out. And then after this past year, everyone's saying all the stuff I got to work on. So at some point, you got to make decisions for yourself. I'm just excited to play football.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Trevor Lawrence, star quarterback of the Clemson Tigers. Talking about committed to play and ready to go and all that kind of good stuff. We see the vote today from the Pac-12 and the Big Ten as to whether or not they're going to continue the season. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. That is certainly one of the two big stories of the day, Braves being the other one. Hugh Douglas, Trevor Lawrence coming out kind of leading the way. Says a lot about the young man. A lot of other players have come out and said so as well. But he has been the big gun, really. I mean, he doesn't have to play this year. We talked about that earlier this morning. It's something that some people don't realize is that Trevor Lawrence said there's no reason. If he wanted to, Trevor could go, hey, listen, we're not playing. Okay, fine, good. I'll just sit out and work on my game, and I'll be fine and go into the NFL draft, right?
I mean, yeah, he could do that. No question about that. But, I mean, it's something that's driving him to play. You know, he wants to play this year. You know, I commend him for that. And, you know, we'll see what happens. At the end of the day, we'll see what happens.
Dabo Swinney, head coach of the Clemson Tigers, talking about Trevor being kind of the lead guy in terms of making his voice known.
Incredible leadership on this team. Super proud of our guys and, you know, how they have kind of, you know, set the tone and taken charge of trying to have a season, you know, and articulating their thoughts and beliefs. And so, yeah, it's a great group of young men. And I could not be more proud to you know, stand alongside of them and support them and fully support, you know, what we're trying to do here at Clemson and not just here, you know, all over college football. You know, this game is important to so many people.
You know, one of the interesting side things here, Hugh, been talked for a long time, long as I can remember, about some sort of a players association or, kind of at least a loose-knit group of players having something that they can lean on to try to defend their own rights in terms of college athletics. And this is the first time it took this kind of pandemic for the players to actually begin to use social media to talk to each other. They started talking the other day, as we know, and they came out with that one release yesterday. I don't think they had ever done that nationally before where the players have begun to talk to each other. So that's a brand new thing that was an outcrop of all of this, is that the players now realize, at the very least, that the players in the Pac-12 and all the Power 5 conferences, all the conferences, can at least talk to each other.
I mean, social media. I mean, that's the beauty part of it. That's a blessing. It's a blessing and a curse, John. I mean, and it's obvious that these young men are trying to gather as much information as they possibly can to make the right decision for everybody. But that's what this is all about, John, just information. And there's so much out there right now that I think that it's kind of hard. It's going to be kind of hard to make a decision at the end of the day because it basically lies on who do you believe. Who do you think is telling the truth in certain situations and how do you think this is going to impact you in the long haul?
Yeah, and look, and I'm firmly in the let's play category. You may not be. I am. I'm let's play for it. And I've been out there on my Twitter being very clear about this. I mean, I think you should play. Everybody else is playing. Every other league at the youth level, high school level, everybody else is playing. If the players say and the coaches say that their medical experts are telling them, and this is what they are saying, all these coaches and all these players are saying, every one of them, that their medical experts are telling them that it's safer for them to be in the environment that they're in inside the football team than it is to send them outside the football team, then which do you want? If it's safer for them to be inside the football team, then why wouldn't you want them to be on the safer side of things? That's what they're telling us. Either you don't believe them and you just think they're full of crap, or you do. I choose to believe them. And the other reason is, of course, is Hugh, I got to tell you, I mean, I've gotten to a point here. I don't know what's going to happen with a vaccine or anything like this, but, you know, at some point we have to kind of learn to not live with this, but the work around it. You know, we can't just let it just totally dictate everything we do in life. And as a result, I stand in the category of, what the heck, let's play. Let's play college.
I mean, I hear you, John. I think that for me, you know, for me, it's a little bit different because I have a lot of whys. I have a lot of whys, and one of my biggest whys is, okay, why all of a sudden the Big Ten comes out with a schedule last week, and then within the next couple of days, they have a complete change of heart, and now we're sitting here and they're having emergency meetings. And everybody's talking about potentially, you know, shutting the season out after you've already put out a scholarship. That, to me, screams more information that we all don't have, that we're all not privy to. That's what makes me, you know, I understand what you're saying about playing and getting it over with and taking chances and all this other stuff. But I need to know what you know. I mean, that's just me being curious, because you were all gung-ho a week ago. Everything was cool. A week ago. Now all of a sudden we're having emergency meetings and everybody has to be on the same page and yada yada yada. What do you know you're not telling me? That would be my first thought. You know, and that's the unfortunate thing about this business that we're in, and the fact that we're dealing with all of this, John, is because I feel like on some level, you know, there are some things that are not being told to us. Flat out. I mean, that's just how it feels with this stuff changing as much as it changes every day. I just feel like sometimes, you know, when you think you have a grasp of this, something else happens or somebody says something or something changes and everybody's not sharing all the information. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I can't argue that point, Hugh, and I think it's a very valid point because something did change. I mean, we could sit here and speculate all we want, but that's all we're doing is speculating. I mean, we could speculate onto a thousand different things. We do not know what did change.
But it changed enough, John, for them to change course. It changed enough for me to feel as a parent that something's up, where, you know, I would be concerned for my child's safety, because all of a sudden, like last week, you're talking about we're playing a season. You know, you putting out schedules and everything. Then all of a sudden, you know, you're having emergency meetings and you're talking about heart conditions and all this other stuff. And now all of a sudden it's this other information coming out to my, that's common with any virus that could potentially happen. Okay.
Right.
I hear
mm-hmm.
you. Right. I hear you. But all of a sudden I ain't never known it to be comparable to any other virus. That made me change my mind about playing a gung ho season. All of a sudden, it's not the same thing. So, yeah, I would have some questions.
I know, but I still go back to, if it's safer for them to play football than not, then why do you choose the unsafer route? I don't get that.
You're talking about what Trevor Lawrence has said?
Yeah, what all these coaches and players are saying is that their medical experts are saying it's safer for them to play football than it is for them not to play football.
Okay, so who are they medical experts? Who are their medical experts? And with that being said, John, why all of a sudden that – everything changed overnight? That would be my question. I mean, I'm not disputing whether or not your medical experts are being truthful or not. I'm just asking a simple question. What changed overnight?
I don't know the answer to that
either.
For you
to be all gung-ho about the season being played, and now all of a sudden we're having emergency meetings and everybody's speculating on whether or not we're going to play or not. Okay, so what happened between now and then? That's what my question would be.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of internal politics that are going on here, you know, between differing factions. We all know that. It's not like a professional sports league. It's a, you know, a university system. There's, you know, unions and and this and that, and everybody's arguing is basically what's happening right now. Ryan Day, head coach at Ohio State. Now, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, let's update you on what's going to happen today. All reports are, and again, take the reports for what they've been because there have been so many misleading reports, but every report says that today the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are going to have a vote. The school presidents in each league are going to have a vote, and that they're going to vote on whether or not to play this season. Dan Patrick reported that his sources said yesterday that the Big Ten's unofficial tally was 12-2, presidents of the 14 teams, 12-2 against playing, that the two outliers, the two presidents that voted to play were the presidents at Iowa and Nebraska. And so, you know, they wanted to play, and that's led to some other people saying, wait a minute now, we want to play too. At Ohio State, Ryan Day very much wants to play, the head coach at Ohio State, and this is what Ryan Day had to say.
So that part's good. Like, we feel really safe in our bubble here. Now, still a lot of hard work has to be done and a lot of questions have to be answered and things like that. But I do think, you know, canceling the season right now would be a mistake.
If the SEC goes and the ACC goes and some, you know, the Big 12 goes, if the Big 10 and Pac-12 don't go, their fans are going to be livid with them, aren't they?
I would think so, John. I would think that any fans of anybody's respective conference that didn't go would have some kind of issue with them. I mean, I think that's kind of the position that we're in right now, that, you know, people are looking at it from their perspective as opposed to, you know, what's the greater good, you know? I mean, and that's normal. That's human nature. You know, people are going to do that.
Then there's Scott Frost, head coach at Nebraska, who came out and said something that caught everybody's attention. Scott Frost came out in his news conference and said, look, if the Big Ten votes not to play, we in Lincoln we may go ahead and play anyway. Here's Scott Frost, head coach of the Huskers.
We want to play a Big Ten schedule. I hope that's what happens. Our university is committed to playing no matter what that looks like and how that looks. We want to play no matter who it is or where it is. So we'll see how all those chips fall. We certainly hope it's in the Big Ten. If it isn't, I think we're prepared to look for other options.
Oh, I mean, Nebraska's the only one that said, everybody said, you know, Harbaugh and a lot of people have said, yeah, we want to play. Nebraska says, oh, they went to the next level, Hugh. Scott Frost said, hey, we'll go rogue. We'll go ahead and play even if you don't play. We don't care.
Yeah, and so how realistic is that, though, John? That's what I mean, you're the Husker fan. I would have to ask you, I mean, because it sounds like you kind of pumped behind what Scott Frost has said. So what realistically can potentially happen in order for you to play a football season if the Big Ten is not going to play?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, that's a good question.
You're going to dole out a whole bunch of cash and pay you know, people in the surrounding area to play you, the surrounding schools in the area to play you?
Yeah, no, I don't know what it would look like. I mean, if Iowa wanted, I mean, would anybody else go join Nebraska and go rogue, so to speak? Would Iowa go rogue? Would Ohio State go rogue? Would Michigan go rogue? I don't know that they would. There's a grant of rights. There's contracts in the Big Ten. I get that. The Big 12 has kind of said, you know, hey, listen, we're open to some ideas. Could Nebraska simply join the Big 12 for a year? I don't know what it entails. All I know is that they seem to be pretty committed there to playing and saying, look, you know, we aren't beholden to the Big Ten. I mean, how would the Big Ten respond in Nebraska? Would they threaten to kick Nebraska out? I think if they did, Nebraska would probably say, well, okay, you know, we'll have other options. You know, I don't know. That's what makes it so fascinating. Well, teams go rogue because their conferences won't play. Who knows what's going to happen with college football? It's really I've never seen anything like this. So I can't. Who the hell? I can't. It's I wish I had answers for you. Brad Guzan does have answers, though. He is, of course, the star goalkeeper of Atlanta United. What does he see in the new coach and the new attitude around Atlanta United as they get ready to play in just about 11 days from now, restart their season? We'll talk with one of our favorite Five Stripes as we continue the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Worldwide at radio.com. You can get the app in the App Store. Brad Guzan after a CBS Sports Minute. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. I know that there's a lot of people on my Twitter, you know, saying, you know, that I don't have any have any thoughts about you know, the health of college football players. We're going to get into that in the 8 o'clock hour. Trust me, and I do. Everybody's health is on our mind, including those at MLS who now leave the bubble of Orlando for a different kind of bubble, where the MLS, you know, here we're kind of, you know, making things up as we go along here and trying to adjust. And the MLS came up with a kind of a unique idea, and we're going to have these six games against a little pod of teams and not just traveling everywhere. And that's how Atlanta United is going to begin, with games against Nashville, Miami, and Orlando. And we'll see where we go from there. As a result, let's welcome in one of our favorite people to talk to, Brad Guzan, goalkeeper of Atlanta United, Five Stripes star, and on the WayForward.com hotline this morning. Hey, Brad.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Hanging in there. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad, man. So, you know, yesterday, I know you guys are obviously disappointed with the outcome of down there in Orlando, but we got a schedule now. How pumped are you now for the schedule to be, you know, less than 2 weeks?
For sure, for sure. That part is certainly exciting. I mean, as you mentioned, we were all disappointed with how the bubble went down in Orlando in terms of the performances and the results on the field. But now to be back here in Atlanta, to now have actual games on the horizon, knowing that we're going to be able to play here in Atlanta, you know, that part is certainly exciting and gives us something to be training for, and so that part, like I said, that part's good to know.
Atlanta United will play its first game since the Orlando bubble in about 11 days on August 22nd. Again, their little pod is going to be Nashville and Orlando and Inter Miami, and so we'll see. Of course, Orlando pretty hot coming off that tournament there down there. It ought to be interesting. Brad, tell me what you know. I mean, I know you've known Stephen Glass for a couple of 3 years now. Tell me what we can expect, what the fans can expect, and what you know of him as a coach.
Yeah, I mean, obviously seeing him around the training facility, having little conversations here and there about how the ATL2 team is doing or has been doing over the last year or two under his guidance. So just having those types of conversations. He's a soccer guy. He understands the game. He understands what Atlanta United is about. Him, you know, watching our games from the stands, from the side, and being an observer, and now being in charge. You know, he's a soccer guy, and so he's going to put in all the work that's necessary to make sure that we can get back to the Atlanta United way, and that's exciting soccer, attacking soccer. And giving our fans something to cheer about, whether they're in the stadium with us or at home or virtual. You know, we want to give our fans something to cheer about. We want to give them goals. We want to give them excitement. And him and his staff are certainly going to put in all of the work that's necessary to make sure that the players and the team are ready and prepared for each and every game coming up.
So, Brad, I got to ask, and I don't want to put you on the spot, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but you know, during that time down there, during that time in Orlando, and things were going the way that they were going, how odd was it for you guys to just kind of sit around and kind of know in your hearts, but you can't say anything, that this isn't us, and this is not what we do? Was that kind of a hard pill to swallow for you guys?
I mean, listen, any time in professional sports when results aren't going your way, it's always a difficult period, regardless of what's happening kind of around you. And, you know, we play this game to win games, and that's what we've been accustomed to as Atlanta United. And so you go down into this unique situation of this bubble format, and you're immersed in this soccer, you know, environment 24/7. And then on top of it, the results aren't going your way. It becomes extremely frustrating. It becomes extremely frustrating off the field just as much as on the field, because you can't escape it. And we were in this hotel. We were, you know, you're seeing teams that you had just played. You're seeing them in the hallway. You're seeing other teams that are being successful. They're winning games. They're scoring goals. And it's not going the way that we want it to go for us. And so that part became extremely difficult to deal with. Like I said, just both on and off the field. And when it's not going your way, it just kind of continues to snowball, if you will.
Well, good. I'm glad you got out of there. I mean, let's change the narrative here. Of course, you're changing head coaches. That's a pretty big narrative change, Brad Guzan. Brad, tell us about what you've seen. Have you had a chance to really get a good look at the two new players, Kubo Torres and Jürgen Damm?
We've been able to see Jürgen a little bit. He's only just kind of joined the team in terms of being able to train with the group. And, you know, we haven't seen Kubo yet, just from the sense of taking all the necessary safety precautions with quarantining and from his arrival and whatnot. So we know that they're high-level players. We know that they're very good. So we're excited to get them into the group and start kind of learning how we want to play and the teammates that they're going to be playing with on a day in and day out basis. So that part's exciting to know that to know that we've got exciting young hungry players that are looking to prove themselves as well.
We're talking with Brad Guzan, Atlanta United goalkeeper, and the big changes that are coming to Atlanta United as they try and reclaim kind of that mantle. I mean, you guys, you know, you had that rep, and suddenly it just kind of disappeared on the team. Have you noticed a sea change at all in the attitude of the team? I Brad, it's too easy. I'm not asking you to, you know, throw Frank under the bus. That is not what I'm asking you to do. But it's I'm just asking you if there has been a change in attitude at all that you've been able to notice, an appreciable change in terms of, you know, rallying behind the concept of, as you said, going back to more of an attacking team.
Yeah, I mean, anytime in professional sports, right? I mean, this is the business side of it where, you know, when things aren't going well and it's easier from a business standpoint to change coach, to change manager, but it's ultimately down to the players to be able to go out there and get results. And so when you have a coaching change, of course there's going to be, especially coming off of the results that we were, there's going to be kind of, I don't want to use the term breath of fresh air, but there's going to be an eagerness to get back to trying to get back to winning ways. And with that eagerness comes, you know, a freshness. There comes a hungry bite to the team to wanting to win. And when you have that, I think it becomes more competitive day in and day out in training. It becomes, you know, not exciting, but it becomes new. And now everybody starts on a level playing field. So guys that necessarily weren't in the team before, they now know they've got a fresh start. Guys that have been in the team, they know they've got to continue to work hard and try and keep their place. So, yeah, when you have a coaching change, I wouldn't say it's you know, this excitement of having a new coach. I think it's just an eagerness to prove ourselves.
Yeah, I can see that, Brad. We get used to this. It's going to be interesting now, this new little bubble that you're in. Orlando City apparently has upped its game. I mean, we may actually have a rivalry here going on. I don't know.
In order to call it a rivalry, John, they got to actually win a game. I know Brad can't say that, but I go ahead and throw that out there. They got to actually win a game first before it becomes a rivalry.
Appreciate that.
Hey, well, Brad, with that being said, college football, I don't know if you're a college football fan. If you are, what's your favorite team, and how do you feel about college football potentially not being played this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we all see the headlines, and I've always said that, you know, as professional athletes, we're fans of sports in general, and so college football is no different. When you have such a massive sport like college football, especially down here in the Southeast, and what the SEC means to so many people down here, you know, it's disheartening when you start to see these reports start to come out. You know, with that being said, the safety of everyone involved has to be first and foremost for not only the players, but staff, the people that are going to have to be able to operate stadiums, you know, with or without fans, opening up stadiums, so making sure that it's safe for everyone to be a part of. You know, if they're able to get protocols in place that are able to work, then fantastic, you know, but I think the safety of not only just the athletes, but also the support staff, that's so huge.
Has it been your experience that the protocols and that everybody kind of adheres to it, that it works fairly well? I mean, notwithstanding obviously some of the setbacks they've had, but you were down in a bubble. Did it work like you expected it would work? Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, at the very beginning, it was a bit of day-to-day, and I don't think we really, you know, as a league, we didn't really have a, you know, we didn't understand kind of what was going to happen day-to-day. And that part was we were learning as we were going as a league. Eventually, with the removal of Dallas and Nashville, you know, you can see that it can work, the bubble format. Now, you look at what Major League Baseball is doing, you know, the fact that, you know, I think it was the Marlins where they were struggling with tons of positive tests. You know, you need players and staff that are going to be a part of it. You need them to be disciplined and make sure that they're adhering to what that protocol is. And if they can adhere to those rules and regulations, then yes, I think certain protocols certainly can be in place and can be effective.
Well, we look forward to getting you back home, Brad. I can surely say that. And all Atlanta United fans are excited. Do appreciate you taking a few minutes. Let's get this rowing in the right direction, the Atlanta United direction. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Appreciate it as always, guys. Have a good one, all right? Be safe.
Yeah, all right. You too. Brad Guzan, great goalie, great guy. And it'll be fun here to see what kind of the new look of Atlanta United is. Will it be like the old look?
Yeah, and see how fast they get up and down the pitch. That's what I'm excited to see.
I will catch you up on some of the very latest from the National Football League. Camp's going on. We are now under a month, date to date, from the season opener for the NFL. Very latest as we get set to roar into a uncharted waters of a new season in about 29 or 30 days. All right, all that next around the corner on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. The National Football League, a little under a month now, I guess depending on how you look at it from a calendar standpoint, date-to-date. September the 10th, Kansas City-Houston Texans opener at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. Looking at some of the NFL headlines this morning as we get ready for camp to really begin in earnest. And Hugh would know, I got it. Before we get into any of this stuff, Hugh, I got to ask you a question because I was thinking about this last night. All right, so you have no preseason games this year. I understand that. And so you're going to have to kind of do a little work around here. If you're thinking about do you go back to like your college? Did they run it like a college camp? In other words, do they run scrimmages and stuff? I guess the only option, right, is to have 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 and do it that way. I mean, they're going to have to do probably more hitting in camp than they normally would. Is that right?
John, I don't really know because I don't know how coaches are handling this pandemic. I would think that with things being the way that they are and, you know, protocols being what they are, that hitting would probably be minimized even more so in this situation. I think coaches have to be creative in trying to figure out how they're going to get the work that they normally would get done in a situation like this, how they're going to get it done. I don't know what to tell you.
You know, that, you know, it's a fair point, too. And it is, you know, it presents a bit of, you know, kind of an interesting thing because I thought, well, if they got to do more, wait a second, they may not be able to because they have all these agreements that are in place for the, you know, amount of hitting and amount of practice time, right? I mean, that's all kind of collectively bargained anymore, correct?
I would assume so, John. I mean, I don't know. I've never dealt with anything like this before. And haven't had a chance to communicate with anybody who is going through it right now. So I really don't know what to tell you.
Well, I can tell you this. Whoever comes out of the gate quickly this year, that's going to be testimony to, you know, how they ran their camp because, you know, you're going to have to make decisions based on, you know, with no preseason. It does alter things. And so we may get a rather interesting opening month of the season until things settle down a little bit, I would think.
That's a given. I mean, yeah. Anybody that knows anything about football knows that this is not going to be, you know, the greatest month, you know, when it does start or whenever it does start. It's going to be sloppy. It's going to be a lot of timing issues and things of that nature. You know, there are still some people, if I'm not mistaken, still doing Zoom classes. They're still doing Zoom teaching as far as football is concerned. So, yeah, everybody's trying to adjust to what's happening right now, and it's not going to be done the way that it used to be done.
Which is going to benefit, I would think, teams that have, you know, veteran quarterbacks and offensive lines and the timing side of thing, at least out of the gate. And of course, the Falcons, they don't get any break because they're coming out of the gate facing Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott and Aaron Rodgers in the first month of the season. So it's not like they're facing a bunch of rookie quarterbacks to start the year. Back when they had a preseason schedule, the Falcons were going to face Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa in the preseason, but and maybe Jake Fromm, but not so much no more. I mean, now they're getting into their preseason would have been filled with rookie quarterbacks. Their regular season, not so much you. It's filled with superstars. But, you know, you play with what's in front of you, and we'll see what the Falcons can do. Lamar Miller is back. He tore his ACL, Hugh, is back, says he's healthy. And the Patriots continue. Isn't it so interesting? The Patriots continue to sign these players. They've always done it, really, if you think about it, from the Randy Mosses and the Rodney Harrisons and everybody else. But, boy, they have this model down where they pick up those guys kind of on a one-off and manage to use them to some effect. So we can't know how healthy he's going to be, but Lamar Miller behind Cam Newton in New England. Maybe I'm underselling the Patriots this year a little bit.
I mean, I think you have been because I don't know why you feel like Miami's going to make that move because, you know, they got a young quarterback, a young rookie quarterback who hasn't played yet. But, I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's all about being a fan of a team and being excited about them. But I still think the Patriots are the class of the AFC East. I still think that's who they are. And I think that they're just reloading. It's going to be a little different for them, but I think they still have the best team in that division by far right now.
Yeah, and the Dolphins did add some players, as guys opted out too. The reason I like the Dolphins is I think that Brian Flores did a really good job, especially in the second half of the season. He got his young team onto the same page. They've got a lot of really good young talent down there. And that's not to say I don't think Buffalo could be good. But kind of well documented on this show that I don't have a whole lot of faith in Josh Overthrow. So until he proves me, and look, he could prove me wrong here, but I don't have a whole lot of faith in him. The Jets are a disaster. We all understand that. So, I guess, you know, but then again, Hugh, I have overvalued the Miami Dolphins before, haven't I?
I mean, John, yeah. This is kind of what you do. I just kind of let you go. You know, I know Underboss, he'd listen to it. He'd be like, why you be all quiet? Because, like, normally when you get on a tangent like this, John, I don't know how to respond to that. And so I'm just.
Well, you can call me a fool. I mean, and maybe I am being a fool.
No, I'll never do that because, you know, I mean, there is that Taco Fall moment that you did have. You know, there's that. But, no, I mean, it's just sometimes when you say it, I just try to visualize it. I try to take it in and see what you're seeing at the time.
Speaking of Florida, we noticed that Yannick Ngakoue is still at odds with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He hasn't signed his tag. He fired his agent. I'm kind of curious, Hugh, why if somebody – and, look, you know what it's like to want to get the heck out of Duval – if Ngakoue doesn't want to be there, why are the Jaguars so intent upon trying to keep him? I just don't understand that.
It kind of sounds like they're not getting what they want for him. You know, they're probably asking for a whole lot that teams aren't willing to give up for him, John. That's what it kind of sounds like to me. You know, there were some teams that were interested, but I don't think they were interested at the price that the Jacksonville Jaguars wanted to give him up for. You know, I think Shad Khan said something to him about that. In a couple tweets that went viral.
Mm-hmm.
This was a while ago when he was talking about, hey, you know, you're not really helping, you know, you're trying to get moved, but you're not really helping the cause, talking bad about us, you know?
Right.
And being hurt. I think that's what he said or something to that effect. But, yeah, he got real specific when he was talking about, trying to move the guy. So, yeah, he's still there because I'm assuming that's because they didn't get what they wanted for him.
Right, and of course, you know, you have all sorts of issues down there in Jacksonville, and I don't know. I feel for the people. I know that you have that kind of experience in Jacksonville, but I feel for the people down there because I still think if I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, I'm kind of looking out the side eye here about the team eventually moving to London. So, I don't know what to tell those folks down there. One of our morning menu questions is up on our Twitter at 929 The Game. If there is no college football, are you in favor of NFL games on Friday or Saturday? And we're getting a lot of replies. Jeff Miller replying Saturday would be better. JC404 says Saturday and Sunday only. Some of the replies we're getting on Twitter. Hugh, that's kind of where you and I fall. I kind of want to go back to this. Mention that it's up on our Twitter, and you can weigh in on this at 929 The Game on Twitter if you missed it earlier. NFL's talking about, you know, possibly playing Saturday games. Abe mentioned, you know, would they go to Friday? If they went to Saturday games, you'd have Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, of course. And I'm opposed to Fridays because of, you know, I think there are going to be high schools playing. So
I
want to make sure.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But, you know, I can see the NFL playing, as you said, a doubleheader on Saturday and maximizing their television revenue. I can absolutely see that happening if there's no college football.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Like, if the NFL is the only game in town, they're going to have to figure out ways to try to, number one, stretch this thing out if they can, and get as much money as they possibly can. Now, what does that actually mean? Because you know you only got 16 games in a season. Well, not counting the playoffs. But how could you potentially get as much as you can for all of that? I think the NFL is going to be looking into that, John, especially if college football decides to bow out.
You know, Abe mentioned a doubleheader. Actually, you know, if there's no college football, Hugh, I could almost see a tripleheader on Saturdays where you would have, you know, a noon kick, a 4 o'clock kick, and an 8 o'clock kick. I mean, no reason not to. I mean, you would maximize your national exposure in that regard, and you would have because now you have at the moment you have three national games: Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. If you went to three a triple header like noon, 4, and 8 on Saturday, you'd have six national TV games. You want to talk about maximizing your dollars in terms of the eyeballs that you can get? That would be the way to do it.
That's a thought too, John. I think that right now everybody's just trying to figure out, you know, just how to get this season off the ground, number one. And number two, if it does happen, you know, what's the easiest way to do? Because like I said, you still got 16 games. And if you're talking about loading up every Saturday, every game, like three games every Saturday and three games every Sunday, you're going to run out of games and the season's going to end a little bit abruptly, I would think, you know. So they got to figure out how they would do it. I can't see them having a game on Saturday every weekend. They'll probably have to space them out a little bit.
Yeah, well, we'll see what the NFL decides to do, but it would certainly be an option for them from a national television standpoint to do this. And, of course, all the one of the issues you have to understand, and I think we all understand that, is that with the contracts and whatnot, they don't want to give up some of those really good games. They're like, no, you know what? We're not giving up that late Sunday game. So we'll see what they do in terms of how they handle the national contracts. But it would be open if there is no college football. And, of course, that's going to be the big question today is will there be any college football? And we'll find out, I would think, this week whether or not there's going to be a college football season for the Power Five as the decisions are made. And who knows what direction that's going to go, because right now we got no clue. We're getting a lot of conflicting information, as they say. That's going to be one of the big topics in the next hour. We want to talk to you about what's going to happen with college football. We'll open up the phone lines. We'll do a little rapid fire, then take your calls. Let's have a discussion about what's going to happen with this college football season. It's like your best guess kind of thing, you know, and what you want to see, too. All that ahead on The Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. And, of course, we broadcast worldwide at radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.